So tonight we're going to talk about swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why are we talking about swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the topics we've been dealing with on Tuesday nights have been sugyas related to the recent Daf Yomi, and today's daf, well, really yesterday's daf, but I covered it in today's shiur because I'm a little behind. But in today's shiur, we discussed the issue of swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it was on my mind because I happened to have been in a hotel in Fort Lauderdale for Pesach. And several people asked me, had come over to me over the course of the Yantif, and had asked me about the Isser, whether there in fact really is an Isser, what the problem really is with swimming on Shabbos and Yantif. So apparently it was something that was a topic of conversation for them. I was like a little taken aback because I hadn't heard anyone discuss that in years and years and years. I mean, who in Baruch Hashem, in our community, I mean, It's not even discussed, but it is something that apparently is on some people's minds. And what I was amazed at is that there's certain lines of Gemara and certain lines of Rishonim sometimes also that just have a certain mazel that like everybody knows them. But sometimes it's a wonderful thing that everybody knows that line of Gemara, and sometimes it's extremely misleading. A person knows one line of Gemara but doesn't know the whole sugya, doesn't know everything that comes before and after it, and they get the entirely wrong picture of everything. So everyone who asked me the question started the question the same way. Come on, Rabbi, we're not going to actually build a raft. You know, if I go swimming, I don't remember the last time I was swimming and I built myself a raft to use as a flotation device. So why were they saying that? Because they knew the one line of Gemara in Beit Zadav Lamed Vavam Beis, where the Gemara, after the Mishnah, goes through the list of things that are Asr Mishum Shavus, that one is not allowed to do on Yantif, and Kal V'chomer, not on Shabbos, the Mishnah says, things that are Yisurim D'Rabbanan that have no mitzvah element whatsoever, Lo Olin B'ilan, one is not allowed to climb a tree, V'lo Rochon Al Gabi Behema, one is not allowed to ride on an animal, V'lo Shatin Al Pnei Amayim, and one is not allowed to swim, allowed to float on the water. So the Gemara says, V'lo Shatin Al Pnei Amayim, the last line of source number one, V'lo Shatin Al Pnei Amayim, Gzeira Shemayav Yasa Chavish Al Shayatin. Why are you not allowed to float on the water? Because you might make a raft. So that's the one line that somehow everyone was taught, or everyone remembers from somewhere, and says, oh, so I'm never going to make a raft. I can guarantee you, I wouldn't even know how to begin to make a raft. Usually it's not that hard. All you have to do is blow up something nowadays. But I'm never going to make a raft when I swim. I'm a very good swimmer. It's not going to happen. So if I'm not going to make a raft, what's the big deal? Why is it a problem to swim on Shabbos Yantif? So what we're going to discover is that this line of Gemara has absolutely nothing to do with swimming in a swimming pool. That line of Gemara is about swimming in a river. It has nothing to do with swimming in a swimming pool. But I do find it funny that, and even if it were the reason that we're not allowed to swim, there are lots of takanos and gzeros that Chazal made for a variety of reasons where the reasons may not seem so applicable to us, but the gzeros is still intact. And there's a good reason for that. The reason for that is that the rule the Gemara lays out for us is that ein bezin yachal levatel divrei bezin chavero elim kein gadol imenu b'chachma b'minyan. A later bezin is not allowed to undo the rules or the gzeros made by an earlier bezin unless the later bezin is greater b'chachma u'b'minyan, both in wisdom and in influence or in number, whatever that the word minyan means. Machlokes Rishonim. But a bezin can't just undo something that an earlier bezin had done. So even if it were the reason, I don't know why that would be so hard to swallow. I don't know why that would be so difficult to accept, even if it were the reason. Say, Nachanami, maybe that reason doesn't apply. But it's not the reason, so it's irrelevant, because that's not the reason that we're not allowed to swim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The interesting part about this sugya in particular is not only the fact that it covers a wide variety of areas of Hilchos Shabbos, as we're going to see, but also that it's not so simple to just say, okay, we have to be machmir, it's aser mishum pika malacha, and just say that it's aser, because there, while religiously observant people typically do not swim on Shabbos and Yantif, but many very, very pious Jews do put their bodies in a body of water, often a heated body of water, on Shabbos and Yantif. And that's people who go to the mikveh, particularly amongst Hasidim, where they're constantly go to the mikveh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So whatever isser you're going to come up with for swimming, you're going to need to be metaretz. So why is it okay for Hasidim, or for anybody for that matter, to go to the mikveh on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So that's where it becomes a little bit more challenging. In fact, Some of the more interesting sources on the topic of swimming on Shabbos and Yantif can be found in the Sefer Taras Habayis. Taras Habayis, in the second volume of Taras Habayis, which is Rav Avadia Seif Sefer, really is an encyclopedia on Hilchos Nida. So why is he talking about swimming on Shabbos and Yantif in his encyclopedia on Hilchos Nida? Because it relates to Tevila. If you're going to allow Tevila and you're not going to allow swimming, you better explain why Tevila is okay and swimming is not okay. So just to sort of set the tone from the outset, there are three fundamental differences between going to the mikveh and going to a swimming pool. And we'll have to see how that plays out in halacha. One fundamental difference is that when one goes to the mikveh, it's either for a mitzvah or for Tosefes Kedusha, something that relates to a mitzvah, something that could be described as a quasi-mitzvah at least. Whereas when one goes to a swimming pool, it's purely for leisure or for exercise, not for any mitzvah purpose. So you could theoretically have two people in the same swimming pool, and depending on what you identify as the Isser to go swimming, one of them will be violating an Isser because he's going for leisure purposes, and the other one is going for the sake of a mikveh, and he doesn't violate an Isser because he's going to the mikveh in the swimming pool. That's what a lot of people do. If there's no mikveh available for a woman, it's not okay, but for a man, where there's no requirement to go to the mikveh anyway, so when there's no mikveh available, a man will very often go to a swimming pool if there's a private swimming pool that's available. So that's one critical difference. A second critical difference between going to a swimming pool and going to a mikveh is that when one goes swimming, they typically wear something. When one goes to the mikveh, they typically wear nothing. So the apparel that one wears, the clothing that one wears, however small amount of clothing it may be, when one goes swimming, that might make a difference, might make a very big difference in terms of the halacha of going into a pool of water with clothing versus going into a pool of water without clothing. And we'll see how that plays out as well. And then the third difference is that when one goes to a mikveh, it is not absolutely necessary to leave your feet. When one goes swimming, one leaves their feet and splashes a lot because you're swimming. When you go to the mikveh, you're just sort of in the water and then you just come out. It's not something where there's a lot of splashing and a lot of movement, and that may play a role here as well. So in order to discuss this intelligently, we first need to get rid of the Gemara in Beit HaDaf Lamed, not get rid of, but we need to sort of take it out, the Gemara from today's Daf, out of the equation and explain why it's taken out of the equation. After all, the Gemara says that it's also to go swimming because you might build the raft. So isn't that the whole Isser? So let's see why that's not the whole Isser. So the Gemara says, we saw it already, that on Lamed Vav and Beis, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to swim. The Gemara explains that you might make a raft. A technical machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, exactly what type of raft one might build or what exactly we mean by a raft, whether it's something that a beginning swimmer would use to help him learn how to swim, or whether it's one of those like lazy boys that they have for the pool that you could just sit back and relax on it and no water is going to get on you anyway, and it will just be something that you could float on top of. Okay, that's a detailed machlokas Rashi and Tosos, but largely irrelevant to our topic for tonight. That is one sugya in the Gemara. There is a second sugya in Maseches Shabbos. If you look in source number 4 on page 3 over here, Maseches Shabbos of Memam Beis, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Anocha Zisei l'Rabbi Avahu deshat ba'ambati. He said, I saw Rabbi Avahu swimming in a pool of water, v'lo yadana i'okar ilo akar. But I don't know if he was oker or not, if he uprooted or not, if he moved something or not. Now, it doesn't explain in the Gemara what. If he uprooted what? If he moved what? It doesn't say. So it says Gemara, Pshita de lo akar. Whatever he could have uprooted. D'tanya lo yashut adam b'brichem alei amayim v'afilu amedes b'chatzar. Because the Braisa says you're not allowed to go swimming. You're not allowed to swim in a pool of water, even if it's in a chatzar. What's the chiddush of even if it's in a chatzar? Point is, even if it's totally in a Rosh HaSiyachid. If it's in a Rosh HaSarabim, and you're in the pool of water, which is, let's say, at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, 10 tefachim high, or 4 amos by 4 amos, 10 tefachim high, so you're in a Rosh HaYachid in the pool, but the area around the pool is Rosh HaSarabim, so then Vaday it's going to be Asr, because every time you splash water from the pool to the Rosh HaSarabim that surrounds it, you're going to be violating Otsah. So even if it's in a chatzar, even if the pool is in a yard, and the yard is surrounded by a fence, so everything is a Rosh HaSiyachid, still it's Asr. So it can't be that Rabbi Avo was Akar. So how could Rabbi Zera think Rabbi Avo was Akar, whatever that means? It says, Mar lo kasha, It depends whether there's a rim around the pool or not. If there's a rim around the pool, that solves all the problems. If there's no rim around the pool, it doesn't solve the problems. So what's going on over here? What exactly is happening in this Gemara? So this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rif. Rashi translates the word akar. What does it mean that he doesn't know if he was akar or lo akar? Rashi says that means he's not sure whether Rabbi Avohu left his feet inside the pool or not. He knows that Rabbi Avohu was swimming in the pool. He wasn't sure if Rabbi Avohu was just walking and sort of like wading his way through the pool, or if he actually left his feet and was actually swimming. So the Gemara says, well, obviously he didn't leave his feet, because to leave your feet would be usur. So how could you even have a hava amina that he would leave his feet? So the Gemara says, no, leaving your feet is mutter if there's a rim around the pool. Now, what's going on? Why is it obvious that leaving your feet is usur? Because presumably, leaving your feet is a violation of what we learned in today's daf, that it's you're not allowed to swim lest you build a raft of some sort, lest you build a flotation device. So Rabbi Avohu couldn't have been leaving his feet. That would have been a violation of the Mishnah Beis Olam Vavam Beis. So what's the Gemara's answer to that? Now, he might have left his feet, but if the pool has a rim around it, then there's no problem with leaving your feet. We're not worried that you're going to come to build a raft. Why not? Why, if there's a rim around the pool, if there's some sort of ledge around the pool, are we suddenly not worried about building a raft? So it could be that the way Rashi understands this, the way Beis Yosef explains, is that in a private swimming pool, there is no concern that you're going to build a raft. A raft is you're going down some river rapids or something, and it gets wild, and you grab onto something, and you put something together. You're in a private swimming pool, there's no concern you're going to build a raft. Elamai, Chazal made a gzera. And the gzera is that you're not allowed to go swimming in a river-like area. Anything that's like a river, anything that you could identify as being similar to a river, you're not allowed to go swimming there. Why? Well, for the reason the Gemara says, because you might build a flotation device. But that's the issue. The issue is to go swimming in a river. If it has a rim around the pool, then it doesn't even look like a river. It looks like you're in a bathtub. It looks like a kli. And once you're in a kli, it's not part of the gezeira. So as long as it's not part of the gezeira, so you're good. You're allowed to go swimming. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Now, the Rif has a different reading of the Gemara. The Rif is quoted in the Beis Yosef, in source number 6. The Rif writes, in the Beis Yosef writes, in the name of the Rif, in the third line, V'arif kasav b'loshon hazeh, Tan Rabbanan. Here's the way the Rif quotes the Gemara. Lo yashadadim b'brichim le'amayim, v'afilu ometz b'chatzer. Person's not allowed to go swimming in a pool of water, even in a chatzer. V'i iskidu de'shari. And if there's a rim around it, then it's mutter. My time, oh, why? Why is it mutter? The inami akar le maya ha'ika gidudi de mahadri lehu. So now you see what, just from the lashon of the Rif, what that being oker doesn't mean being oker ragla. He's not talking about whether the guy is lifting his feet off the ground or not lifting his feet off the ground. He's saying the inami akar le maya, that the concern of akar is that you're going to get water out of the pool. And if you don't have a rim around the pool, the water is just going to continue to flow outside of the pool. That's going to look like a river, and Mimela, you're in the parsha of the Isser of Beit Zadaf Lamed Vavam Beis, of swimming in a place that looks like a river. But when you have a rim around the pool, so when water comes out, if you splash some water, the rim will allow the water to float right back to flow right back into the pool, so it doesn't look anything like a river. Bottom line is, though, any pool that has a ledge around it, Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rif, is not going to be part of the problem of this Gemara in Beit Zadaf Lamed Vavam Beis. It's not part of the issue of lest you come to build a raft. It's just not an issue. Now, the Deber Tziner has a tshuva about this in Chelek Gimel Siman Nun Vav, and he says, you know, Rashi's pshat is difficult to understand. What is Rabbi Zera saying? He says, I saw Rabbi Avo swimming, but I don't know if he picked his feet up off the ground. Have you ever seen a person swim before? You could tell if a person's picking his feet up off the ground. What do you mean? I don't know. The Ramban asked this kash on the Rif. He says, it doesn't make sense. What does it mean? He saw Rabbi Avo swimming, doesn't know if he picked, and not asked kash on the Rif. He asked the kasha on Rashi in defending the Rif. Balamar attacks the Rif and defends Rashi, Kedarko, and the Ramban And the Ramban defends the Rif, and he says Rashi doesn't make any sense. What do you mean you don't know if he picked his feet up off the ground? If the guy's swimming, then he picked his feet up off the ground. If he wasn't swimming, he was walking. They look very different from each other. So Debrasina says that he said before he knew that it was the Ramban's kasha, he was giving shir in this sugya, and one of the balabatim in the shir asked this question, and he said it's a stupid question. It turned out it was the Ramban's kasha, so he said that's not a good question. It's so obvious that you're standing from far away. And you can't tell exactly if his feet are on the ground or not. You see, he's wading through, but you can't tell because you're not close enough to be able to tell. So the Davar Pashut, there's nothing to talk about. So he said it was obvious what the answer was. Then he found out that it was the Ramban's Kasha, so he saw that, okay, maybe it's not such a bad Kasha, but he said that he found that the Me'iri saw the Ramban, the Me'iri knew what the Ramban's Kasha was, but the Me'iri still quotes the Shitas Harif and the Shitas Rashi without quoting that Ramban's Kasha. So he says, it must be, the Me'iri doesn't quote that Kasha because he knows that it's a silly Kasha. He knows that my answer is the right answer, and that if you're standing far away, that it's no issue. Okay, that's how the Debrezina suggests. At the end of the day, what we've established so far, and we'll see how it plays out in Halacha, is that it seems from both the Rashi and the Rif, it's just Beferish and the Gemara really in Masechta Shabbos, that if you're in a, unless it's what do they call it, an infinity pool, right, where there's no rim around the pool, so then if you're in such a pool, so I'm told those are pretty expensive, no? Infinity pools. So you're living okay, but if you're in such a pool, so then you have to worry about making a raft also. Then you're inviolate. In addition to the other issurim we're going to talk about, you also have to worry about Beit Zadaf Lamed Vav. But if you're in a regular pool, Beit Zadaf Lamed Vav is not your issue. Your issue of building a flotation device is not the issue. That's what Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Shin Lamed Tes Sif Beis in source number 7. Ain shatin al pnei hamayim afilu b'brich shavachatzer. You're not allowed to swim in water, even if the pool is in the chatzer. Mipnei shaksha mayim ne'ekorim v'yotzim chutz l'bricha. So right away, Shulchan Aruch says, why? Because even when the water goes out, he's assuming like the shita of the Rif that what's going to be ne'ekar? It's the water that we're talking that's ne'ekar. Obviously, we're talking about a guy who's swimming, so he's okay, raglav. That's not even part of the discussion, according to the Rif, according to the Shulchan Aruch. And by the way, in Beis Yosef, he says that the Rambam learns like the Rif. That's why he has it this way in Shulchan Aruch, because the Rambam and the Rif agree on this. So even if you're in the chatzah, you're not allowed to swim there, because when the water goes out, v'yotzim chutzal bricha dami l'nahar. It looks like a river. But if there's a ledge around the pool, then it's mutter. Because then it's like you're swimming inside of a kli, and there's no reason to be gozer that it at all that you're going to build any sort of flotation device. So you have these walls around the pool, and that makes it perfectly okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Now, Mishnah Berurah points out, obviously, that we're talking where you're in a chatzer. The Shulchan Aruch has to say that we're talking that you're in a chatzer, because if you weren't in a chatzer, then you'd have hotza'ah issues. Every time you splashed, when you went out of the pool and you have water dripping off your body, all of this would be hotza'ah violations if you were not in a place that was totally enclosed. Most of the time, when people are talking about going swimming, it's in a hotel or it's in their backyard. And in all such pools, they have fences around the pools, and normally it's definitely a Rishus HaYachid in such an area. So that's why when Rav Moshe was asked about swimming on Shabbos and Yantiv, so at the beginning of the tshuva, he starts out by saying in source number 10, V'lishchos b'Shabbos b'mayim hinei b'nahar u'b'lake. Aser, that's an English word, ubalek, aser midina. He says it's aser min hadin if you're in a river or you're in a lake, v'cheinav b'brichim lesei gedudei, or if you're in an infinity pool, it's aser midina. Kedisa b'Shabbos taf mem, that's the sugya in Shabbos, that it's going to be aser. But v'imu b'bricha shehu has swimming pool, also an English word, but if you're in a pool, which we call a swimming pool, sheberov yesh l'safa, where it has a ledge around the perimeter of the pool, mutter midina mitzad isur shat k'depirush rashi reshaf mem aleph. It's mutter min adin in terms of the isur of swimming, like Rashi says. V'ifsuk shulchan aruch, good, and that's what the shulchan aruch passes. So Moshe says, when next time someone comes over to you and says, why is it that people have a problem with swimming on Yantiv? I promise I'm not going to build a flotation device. You can tell them that the reason it's us to swim has nothing to do with a flotation device. The reason it's us to swim in a lake has to do with a flotation device. The reason it's us to swim in a normal pool has absolutely nothing to do with a flotation device. Great. So what does it have to do with? And I'm making an assumption over here. Probably we shouldn't make assumptions. The way you're supposed to approach halacha is everything's mutter until proven asur, right? So let's go through what are the potentially surim. So Baruch Hashem, we don't have to do too much work because Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Sephardic chief rabbi, the son of Rav Avadi Yosef, in his Yalkut Yosef, has about 7 pages on swimming on Shabbos and Yantiv, and he goes through 9 potential isurim. And he analyzes each one independently. Some of them we may agree with his analysis. Some of them we may not agree with his analysis. I didn't put the whole piece over here at all, but I put a lot of the makoros that he refers to on the Mar Makomos over here. So he goes through. Here are the other potential isurim. So he happens to mention amongst the potential isurim the iser drabanan of swimming lest you build a raft. And he does away with it just the same way we did away with it, that you're in a swimming pool, so it's not an issue of building a raft. Okay, let's move on to the other Isurin. So one Isur, he says, you're not allowed to exercise on Shabbos. It's an Isur Mishum Refuah, that a person is not allowed to be Mis'amel. He's not allowed to do something that requires strain in terms of exercising. So a pool swimming is an excellent exercise, they say, because you don't sweat, so you feel like you can go for longer. So swimming is very, very good exercise. Although your whole body's moving at the same time, it's very, very good exercise. So swimming isn't that a violation of exercising if you're going to go swimming on Yantif. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef was not convinced that that's a violation of exercising at all. And he has, I think he has a very strong point on this issue. By the way, just to summarize the issue of swimming lest you build a raft, I saw on that Dafyomi website in source number 11, he just summarizes the whole thing, if anyone wants a summary of it in English. But anyway, leaving that aside, if you look in source number 14, the Mishnah Berurah talks about taking walks on Shabbos. So there are a lot of different motivations that one might have when they want to take a walk. Some people want to take a walk because they feel like they need the exercise, so they're going to take a walk. Some people want to take a walk because they want fresh air. Some people want to take a walk because they want to get somewhere. Some people want to take a walk because they want to get out of their house for whatever reason. Something's, the in-laws are over or something. They just need a break or something. Not my in-laws, my father-in-law listens. But other people, I'm told. So we've had many times where I come home Friday night and there's a woman with all the children sitting in my living room talking to my wife. I'm like, in-laws over? Yeah. it's just need to get out sometimes. So different people have different motivations in taking a walk. So you're allowed to take a walk on Shabbos Yantiv. A lot of people do it to exercise. It's a reasonable form of exercise. So Mishnah Berurah writes that afilum kavanasa lehisamel. Even if you're trying to exercise, that's why you're walking. Ulischami mishum refuah mikol makom shari. It's still mutter because it's not an activity that's very obviously being done for the sake of refuah. He says to bathe in warm water. We'll get to that later. But anything that's a normal activity that people would often do for non-exercise purposes. For example, the Gemara Maseches Beitzah refers to going into a pool of water in order to cool yourself down on a hot day. And that's very often what people go swimming for. So it's not always a bad exercise, sometimes just to cool down the body on a hot day. So if one can touch up the activity as not having nothing to do with exercise, so then mimela it's excluded from the problem of exercise. So he says, as far as exercise is concerned, I'm not worried about it. Then the Debrezina raises another issue. Rav Yitzchak Yosef actually doesn't raise. The Debrezina raises in his tshuva another issue. He writes in source number 13 that Hinei Shamati Psak, this is the second paragraph on top of page 6, he says, Shamati Psak b'shem Rav Echad. He said, I heard a Psak from a certain rabbi. Whenever he doesn't identify the rabbi, you know he's about to he's about to farshmeta him pretty good. So he says, I heard a Psak from a certain rabbi. That if the pool is very large, that it's more than that, if the area that surrounds the pool, the walls that surround the pool, surround an area of more than 200 amos, then it has a din of a karmelis, and then you're not allowed to carry anything for amos, including the water that's stuck to your body as you're swimming through the pool, or the water that you're splashing and pushing out of the way as you're swimming through the pool. Because the water there takes away the shame dira. Normally, you have an area that's hukaf ledira. The halacha is that as din of Rosh Hashanah. But if you have an area that's not ro'i for dira, we have to go back to our Erevin Shirim from last year. Remember, if you have an area that's not ro'i for dira, it's full of water, so then it has din of a karmelis. It's no longer considered Rosh Hashiyatin. That's why over here we have fences around the whole whatever they call it. Whatever pond, what do they call it? Doxy pond. Doxy pond, they have a fence around the whole thing. That's out of the Erev. Why is it out of the Erev? Because it can't be in the Erev, because it's karmelis. So it's no matter what we do to it, it's not royal adira. So he said, I heard someone, a Rav Echa, that wanted to suggest that if the area of the pool is so large, and the pool is memayit the dira, so it would have a din of a karmelis, and you wouldn't be able to carry there at all. So he says, however, someone asked me, "Vishalni echad im emes hadavar." If that's really true, eich efshar shabakol makom zeh shadim rabbis tovim b'brichas mayim agadolim amachzikim beis pumas asayim veldilser. He says people have always historically, whenever there was no mikveh available, but they wanted to go to the mikveh and Shabbos Yantiv, they'd go to the swimming pool, no matter how big the area was. How could the Rabbanim let so many people be nichshel in this? And he says, I've asked this question many times, and I'm convinced that there's no isser whatsoever. He says, what makes an area not royal adira? That's if the water is unusable. If the water is not potable water, it's not water that you could be koveis in. Not only if it's not drinkable water, it's if it's water that you can't even launder clothing in. He says swimming pool water is a greater use of the water than laundering clothing is. It's more of a dira usage than laundering clothing would be a dira usage. What about this rabbi that said that it's aser? So he writes in the parentheses at the end of that paragraph, va'osa rav she'amru li b'shmo she'pasak l'asar yadana she'kol kochu misifrei kitzurim ve'in l'smochalav. He says, everyone knows about that guy. His halachic knowledge is from the Kitzer books. He doesn't know the sugyas from the Gemara through the Rishon and through the Shulchan Aruch the way it's supposed to be done. This is a major problem if you have a posek who only knows his Torah from the Kitzer books. I once wrote an article for a publication, and they had asked me to send the article to Rav Shechter and get his ha'aros on it. Then I realized that it was strange to me that they would ask me to write an article. I realized it was just a way to get Rav Shechter to write an article for them. They didn't want my article. They wanted Rav Shechter's ha'aros. But so I sent the article to Rav Shechter, and I quoted a certain sefer, and he wrote back ha'aros on the article. And the biggest ha'aros he wrote was, he said, I met the Baal Mechaber of that sefer. I think I saved the paper where he wrote this. He said, I met the Baal Mechaber of that sefer. Valonis Pa'alti wasn't particularly impressed, because Psak Halacha has to be based on Yesodos and the Gemara and the Rishonim, not only on Achronei Achronim. And that's the same critique that the Debrei Tzinner has for whoever this rabbi was, that when you paskan halacha, you need to know the sugya. It's not good enough to have seen it in the footnote of an art school once. It's important to know the actual sugya. So, okay, so that's in terms of, Ber Moshe says he's not worried, Debrei Tzinner said he's not worried about that issue, that that the area is not royal adira, and therefore it's not a Rosh Hashiyachid. It is a Rosh Hashiyachid, it's fine, carrying is not the issue. Okay, third issue, concern for schita b'seya, meaning, there is a halacha that one is not allowed to do schita on Shabbos Yantiv. You're not allowed to squeeze liquid out of a...
How can you walk in the rain?
Oh, good. So that's a discussion in the post. It is mutter to walk in the rain, but that's a discussion. When we would say something's us, we'll get to that. I hope. There is an issue. You're not allowed to squeeze something out of your clothing. You're not allowed to squeeze liquid out of a cloth. That's the issue of schita. Schita is either aser mishum melabein or mishum mefarik. It's a major discussion in Tosos at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos and Maseches Shabbos and other places in Shas. So maybe, says Rav Yitzchak Yosef, maybe the issue to go swimming is that your hair is going to get soaked, and if your hair gets soaked, you're going to come to be sochet the seyar. So issue number one is to realize the Gemara says beferish in Shabbos Kufchavches ain't schita b'seyar. There's no schita on hair. Okay, so that would solve the problem. Problem is, that doesn't really solve the problem. The Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, at least the way the Kesef Mishnah understands him, that Ein Schita B'Seyar means it's not a violation of Schita Midaraisa, but it's still Asr Midarabanan to be Sochet Seyar. You're still not allowed to be Sochet Seyar. Whether it's Mishum Alabin, whether it's Mishum Afarik, not really relevant, but it's Asr Midarabanan one way or another. Nevertheless, There's no issue to get your hair wet. Meaning to say that you're not allowed to go swimming because you might squeeze out your hair That would be like saying, like Sruli was saying, that you're not allowed to go out in the rain because you might squeeze out your hair. Yet you better wear a hat because you might squeeze out your hair if your hair gets wet. There's no issur to get your hair wet. We're not allowed to make new gezeiros, even if it seems reasonable, meaning that that it is normal that someone comes out of the pool and pushes their hair up or whatever, or pushes their hair out of the way, so that they'll violate schita, or it's likely they'll violate schita, but we can't make new issurim drabanan. So we wouldn't make a gzeira on the gzeira schita b'seir in the first place. It would be a gzeira l'gzeira. So while it's true that one who would go swimming would need to be careful not to squeeze out their hair, it wouldn't make swimming usher just because you might come to squeeze out your hair. It's the same thing as washing your face if you have a beard. Rav Yitzchak Yosef says you have to be very careful when you wash your face if you have a beard. You can't squeeze out the water from your beard. But at the same time, there's no issur to wash your face. It's interesting, he permits using a towel, even on hair. He says that you're allowed to use a towel. That is, he's not the only one that holds that way. That when drying hair, you can, if the water goes straight into the towel, that's okay. Because it's not the derech schita, or the way the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasov also holds this way, the way Shmir Shabbos says, is that it's not just that it's not the derech schita, it's that schita b'seyar is only asamid rabbanan. Why? Because it's nira k'schita. It looks like you're wringing something out of your hair. Well, if it goes straight into a towel, it doesn't look like you're wringing anything out of anything because you don't see any water coming out. It just goes straight into the towel. So that's what Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, that it's mutter to dry one's hair with a towel. Rav Shachter thought it was asur. He did not. He thought that the majority of poskim assume not like the Shmir Shabbos. A lot of times when he says majority of poskim, he means he thinks it's asur. You know, I don't know if he has a list anywhere. He just didn't think it was correct. But I was surprised that in Yalkut Yosef he says, like the Shmir Shabbos, that you're allowed to use a towel on hair. Okay, another issue, another possible issue. Maybe the issue is, says the Yalkut Yosef, is that a person who has wet hair will, you know, the hair gets tangled and you'll pull on it and you'll end up pulling hair out. So if you're going to pull hair out, whether it's on your head or your beard, a person's going to pull hair out, and that's going to be a violation of gozes on some level. So you're going to, that's the issue of Shabbos. Kav HaChaim even talks about a person has to be careful when he's picking his nose. Very interesting, Kav HaChaim, that the little hairs in the nose are going to come out. Interesting. He quotes a Maisa Nora. There's a well-known Maisa with the Arizal, that the Arizal put his hand in his beard once in the middle of Shabbos, and he realized, uh-oh, if I continue to stroke my beard, I may pull out a hair. So he left his hand in his beard for the rest of Shabbos. But Pashtus is, that was a chumrah of the Arizal, meaning that's the kind of thing that makes sense if you're the Arizal. If you're not the Arizal, you don't have to take every chumrah. It's like I always tell the story, Balzum told me once on the parent-teacher conferences, a parent came and said to him, you know, I have a suitcase packed. I keep it in my closet. What are you talking about? He said, because when Mashiach comes, I have a suitcase packed. So Balzum was like, that makes sense if you're the Chafetz Chaim. But if you're not the Chafetz Chaim, it's just a little strange. Right? There's certain chumras that make sense. If you're a tzaddik yisod olam, if you're a person on such a madrega, not every chumra is for everybody. So it doesn't seem that we can make up a new isur d'rabbanan, that you shouldn't get your hair wet or your beard wet or go swimming because you might come to pull out tangled hair. That doesn't seem to be the issue. You see, part of the, I don't know if this is the style or not, but part of what Rav Yitzchak Yosef does is he raises a lot of issues that really aren't issues. So it almost makes you feel like, you know, if at the end of the day he says, okay, I got 9 issues, and this one's not a problem, that one's not a problem, that one's not a problem, this one's a little problem, that one's a big problem, this one's not a problem, that one's not a problem. See, most of them aren't a problem, so it's like, it's pretty much mutter. If you would just ignore the things that he says aren't a problem and focus on the ones that actually might be a problem, then you'd get a much more negative impression of swimming on Shabbos. He's sort of trying to build a case that it might be mutter, but we're going to have to zero in on the ones that are actually an issue. So the next one's probably not actually an issue either. Schita of the towel, that if the towel gets soaked, that you might squeeze water out of the towel. So this actually, you know, the it's really just a question of metzias. So if you're dealing with a very thick, nice, plush towel that can handle all the water that comes off of your body, and it's not going to actually squeeze out. You know, when we take showers, the towels we have in our homes, after we dry ourselves, usually we're not squeezing any water out of the towel when we dry ourselves. Our towels are usually good enough. Sometimes in hotels, though, at pools, they have these teeny little, not such good towels. So they're actually, and people leave them by the pool deck and they get soaked. So it could be that it's more of a concern over there. But anyway, the Shulchan Aruch and some Shinalef Siv Memches Paskins Beferish that it's mutter to use a towel and that there's no such concern that you're going to be soaked. And the Shulchan Aruch talks about when you wash your hands and face, that you're allowed to use a towel. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 17, Mistapi Gadim Baluntis, person is allowed to use a towel. Umaviya Biyadav Lochashin and Shema Yavol Lischot. We don't make a new Isser Drabanan that you might come to be soaked the towel. We're not allowed to invent Isser Drabanan. Nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch also quotes the Lashon of the Mordechai. The Mordechai writes that a rochets yadav tov l'nagvam b'koach zu b'zu, that if a person washes his hands, he should clasp his hands together and sort of try to dry them by rubbing them together a little bit before he uses the towel. Kodem sheikamcha b'mapa, before he uses the towel. The implication sounds like, because if they're soaking wet, then you may do schita on the towel. The towel might get too drenched, you might come to do schita. But again, it says tov, that it's tov to do. It doesn't seem that that's at all the halacha. And the Ramaz beferish makel on this issue. So certainly for Bnei Ashkenaz, we have nothing to worry about in terms of using the towel. Now here's where the real issue comes up. And he saves it for some reason for his sixth on his list of nine issues. But this is the real issue. There is a problem of schita, but it's not schita of the hair and it's not schita of the towel. It's schita of the bathing suit. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, says, I think I put it here in the Makoros also, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, yeah, in source number 19, Shaloyei hiluchach shal Shabbos ki hiluchach shal chol mayim. What does it mean that you shouldn't walk on Shabbos the same way you walk on a weekday? Ki hadam rav huna marav, v'amri lei amir rabi abba amir rav huna, hayimahalich b'Shabbos upaga ba'amas hamayim. Let's say a person's walking on Shabbos and he comes across a big puddle of water, a big body of water. If you could step over it, great, without jumping, that's fantastic, that's what you should do. V'im lav aser, if you can't, then it's aser. So maskev l'ravis, Ravis says, hey, chilavid, what should you do? Lekif, should you walk around? Kamapish b'ilucha, but that's unnecessary walking, it's going to be an extra tircha. Li'aver, should you walk through? Zimnin demitvasan mane maya va'asili de schita. You're not allowed to walk through a pool of water clothed because your clothing will get wet. And when your clothing gets wet, you're going to come to be sochet that clothing. So that's a beferish of Gemara, that if you're wearing anything, you're not allowed to put yourself in a body of water lest you come to squeeze out the clothing. So that's not us inventing an Issur Drabanan. The Gemara makes that Issur Drabanan. They're not allowed to do it. Remember, we started the shiur by saying, whatever the chumra is going to be, whatever the reason is going to be that you can't swim, you're going to have to explain why you're allowed to go to the mikvah. If you can't swim, why are you allowed to go to the mikvah? Well, it's davar pasha. You don't wear a bathing suit when you go to the mikvah. You wear a bathing suit when you go swimming. So if you're wearing clothing and you go into the water, so then it's a chashash, a legitimate chashash of schita. And that's, in fact, if you look back at that tshuva of Ramesha, that's what Ramesha really says. He says, that's the problem. He says, Aval davkuk shomedus b'chatzar, no, where am I? A little bit further on. At the end, he says, in source number 10, the end of source number 10. V'imuluvashin, a lot of English words in this tshuva, v'imuluvashin be-bathing suits, harei af b'chatzar aser. So if you're wearing a bathing suit, so it's aser even in the chatzar. Mishum schita, lo rak lashud, not only to swim, el af l'skarasham, even just to cool off in the pool, even just to go in the pool. Levad midino, mitzad minag midino, seinu ein lirchutz kol guva, v'ibutzonav. So that's another issue we'll get to in a second. So Rav Moshe says, this is the reason that it's aser. Rav Yitzchak Yosef says, not convinced. He says, no, maybe the concern of the Gemara is it's a kind of clothing you don't want to get wet. So that's why we're choshesh you're going to be sochet to dry it out. But a bathing suit is made to get wet. So we're not worried that you're going to be sochet to dry it out. Why would you want to dry out your bathing suit? It's supposed to be wet. It's a bathing suit. So you have no concern of schita. Furthermore, he says, something that you don't mind getting wet, that it's okay, you're comfortable keeping wet for a long time, there is no choshesh schita. And what's the reason why you're going to be soaked in your clothing? Because you don't want it to be wet when you then go out to the market or you then go out to, not to the market, obviously, then go out to shul or whatever. Who wears a bathing suit to shul? As soon as you leave the pool, you change out of the bathing suit. And people change out of their bathing suits, not if they dry, they change out of the bathing suits when they're still wet. That's the normal derech that people do. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef says he's not convinced that this is a problem. Now, keep in mind, all of these svaras that he's saying are his own svaras, And the Gemara, you know, it's a love lahavi raya that it's mutter. The Gemara says you're not allowed to go in clothing in water. Shami yischok. Do people actually do this? Yeah, people do this. People get out of the water and they squeeze a little bit of the water out of their bathing suit. They do it all the time. So it's not like something that's so far. He says, well, who would ever squeeze out a bathing suit? Why would you want to? It's supposed to be wet. But without getting into the psychology of why people do it, what they're thinking, don't they realize it's still going to be wet and it's going to take forever to dry? Forgetting all that. But they do it. The bottom line is they do it. So very hard for me to understand, to hear this kula that he wants to say that we don't have to be worried about this. The next thing the next issue he says is it might be getting clothing wet may be a violation of malabin itself. Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to soak dirty clothing in water. You're not allowed to get dirty clothing soaking wet, even if you don't vigorously rub it like you're washing something, because of violation of laundering, that it's considered to be laundering the clothing. If it is a Shulchan Aruch and Sim Shin Beis sif tes. So that's what Rav Yitzchak Yosef says, that maybe that would be us. Now, if you look in the Ramah on the spot, the Ramah writes, "Ubeged she'ein olav lichluch mutar lases olav mayim u'atim v'lo merubim." A clean beged, you're allowed to put a little bit of water, not a lot of water. But he says, why? Shami yischos, because of schita, not because of malabein. So it doesn't seem that we paskin that malabein is really the primary issue over here, in spite of the fact that the Mishnah Berurah does seem to be choshesh somewhat for the issue of malabein. The other issur that he discusses, and this is also one of the major ones, is that you're not allowed to bathe on Shabbos. So there is a minhag of the halacha is, what's the issur to bathe on Shabbos? You're not allowed to bathe in hot water because you're not allowed to heat up water on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bathe in water that was heated up before Shabbos, because the Gemara says there's an issur d'rabbanan, gzeiras habalanim, that you're not allowed to bathe in water that was heated up before Shabbos, lest you come to heat up water on Shabbos. Gzeiras d'rabbanan, we can't change that. There is such a gzeiras d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to bathe in any warm water on Shabbos or any heated water on Shabbos. So he says, I'm not talking about a heated pool. A heated pool, vada is asir, nothing to talk about. So, okay, that ended the conversation. That's the whole thing. Every time, most of the time, people want to go swimming. They want to go swimming in a heated pool. So the whole thing is, you don't even get off the ground. What if it's a freezing cold pool and there's no heat on in the pool at all? So the Ramah quotes from the Trumas HaDeshen that we have a minhag going back to the times of the Trumas HaDeshen that Ashkenazim don't go swimming even in perfectly cold water, even in 100% cold water. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef says, yeah, but I'm Sephardic. I don't care about that Ramah. I don't care about the Trumas HaDeshen. I don't have such a minhag. That minhag wasn't B'chol HaMakomos. That minhag wasn't accepted everywhere. So if it's perfectly cold water, he thinks it's mutter. He says at the end that technically speaking, Meikar Adin, if it's perfectly cold water, it should be mutter to go swimming. I think for Ashkenazim, it's Vadai Asr for several reasons. And by the way, even on Yantif, you hold your life to take a shower on Yantif, that's because the whole premise of taking a shower on Yantif, even with hot water, is that it's shavah l'kol nefesh. You're assuming that bathing yourself regularly is considered to be something that's shavah l'kol nefesh. So the Yisra Daraisa and perhaps even the Yisra Drabanan go away. But you can't argue that swimming is shavah l'kol nefesh. Swimming is not something a person needs to do on a regular basis in order to maintain a regular health. That's how you could go, people who live in New York go 10 months without swimming. So it's not something that needs to be done on a regular basis. So it would seem for Ashkenazim it's aser to go swimming on Yantif for several reasons. There's a minhag, even if it's perfectly cold water, you're not allowed to go into a pool of water. If it's warm, forget it. Then it's vaday asr, either at least asr midrabanan. If you're wearing a bathing suit, it's asr gzera shemi yischot. So between those, you don't need to go through 9 reasons. 3 reasons is enough reasons to say that something is asr. But then, oddly, at the end of the tshuva, he says, at the end of this whole 7 pages, he says, but I asked my father and he said you shouldn't do it, so it's asr. After he goes through 9 pages of why it's mutter, 7 pages why it's mutter, but Rav Avadya says it's asr, and he says, and even everything I wrote is obviously only if you're not going mixed swimming. He says mixed swimming, that's a different parsha. We could fill up books with how many surim a person violates if that's what the person is going to do. Okay.